Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, April 8th, 2015. And with me today, I have my resident troublemakers, John Martellaro. How are you, John?
Good morning. Number two of the A-team.
And yes, and Kelly Gumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing good. And as always, it's great to have both of you here. Yeah. Hey, real quick, for our listeners that have been trying out Pathfinder 7 from Cocotec, which we talked about a couple weeks ago when they were the weekly show sponsor, they have a discount code for you now. So if you go to cocotec.com and use the discount code TDO, which I know is really clever, TMO Daily Observations, you're going to get a 25% discount. So it takes the price from $39.95 down to $29.95. So there you go. Save yourself a little money and go get yourself Pathfinder 7. And we have, I guess it's the review roundup. Apple Watch pre-orders start on Friday the 10th, and here we are on Wednesday the 8th, and the early reviews came out this morning from the big news sites that were given Apple Watches ahead of time. So they've had them for a week, wrote up the reviews, and I'm curious what you guys think of the reviews that are coming out. My take, I'll just jump right into that, is that there's a lot of people that think the Apple Watch is really, really awesome, but there's no one saying you absolutely have to go buy one.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing about the watch, is that Apple has taken a different approach to this. Your computers are fundamental, smartphones are fundamental, but this is a product where Apple's approach is, you know, we love watches. We think this is cool. There's work to be done here. But the marketing approach has been also along the lines of, you know, it's really cool and you're going to want one. And that kind of seems to have annoyed some people, that people don't like feeling like, oh, it's so nice and so cool that I really want one. People kind of feel like they're being manipulated a little bit. And
have
as soon
you
as they feel
Apple
that
marketing before, John?
Well, yeah, I know. But, you know, when Apple marketing was applied to the things that we normally use, like computers and smartphones, it kind of falls by the wayside. But here it's kind of magnified, don't you think? People kind of get their hackles up a little bit.
It doesn't feel any different to me than when the iPhone came out, because people didn't use smartphones. Well, okay. And when I say people, I mean the average person. When the iPhone came out, there were business people and then a small percentage of the rest of the phone market that used like Blackberries or Treos. And everyone else just had their little flip phones, like
Razors.
That's what I had, the Motorola Razor.
Yeah.
That's what I had.
And we saw the iPhone and we went all of a sudden like, wow, this is the way a smartphone should work. And we were so enthusiastic about the technology that, you know, we just put our razors on the shelf.
I was really happy to unload it. I heard reports when I went and had to trade in mine for the fourth time under warranty, because it seemed like every single one I got was crap. Someone said they actually had a person who upgraded to a smartphone, like a BlackBerry or something, and wouldn't trade in his old phone. He took it out in the parking lot and lovingly placed it underneath the rear tire of his car and drove over it twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good times.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't have one of those on the shelf.
I've got a little museum cabinet where I put things like that. I've got a razor in there.
I was glad to be shot. I was glad to get shot of it, to be completely honest. I had heard so many good things about it before it came out, and then it came out, and I had a miserable experience with it the entire time. So by the time the iPhone 3G came out, which is when my contract was up, I wasn't eligible for the first one and didn't have $600 at the time, just burning a hole in my pocket. So I came in on the 3G. So we were talking about that earlier today and how my experience was different than that of all you guys who were in on the first iPhone, because I never had an iPhone without an app store. And because I didn't get in on wave one, when I got it, I sort of already knew how it worked. I didn't have to figure anything out because I'd sort of seen them and other people had them and had showed me things that they were doing, and check out what the email looks like right here on your phone. Look at all this screen space that you have to read a message. And all of those things were stuff that I had been exposed to for like a year already by the time the 3G was released.
You know, being exposed to the Apple Watch for a year, we kind of feel like, well, not quite a year, we kind of feel like we know it pretty well. Apple's warmed us up to it.
This was real life. Like, I'm not talking about like there had been a media event. Like, I had the opportunity to spend a year with people who actually had them that I could pick up and touch. And why is this weird little corner of it black? And it doesn't seem that heavy. And how is it if you carry it around in your pocket? And we haven't really seen that until today from anybody who's actually lived with an Apple Watch. So to me, that was the interesting thing about the reviews, was seeing how people, at least partially, what it was like once you had one outside a media tent.
The only one I've seen is Gruber's. So what was the most interesting review that you read that seemed to be out of sync, Kelly or Jeff? I don't want to name names or get anybody in trouble, but what seemed to be like the most odd reaction?
Well, first, John, it's okay to name names. Everyone already knows who we are on the show.
Yeah, we covered that at the beginning.
Right at the beginning. Yeah. So if you're hoping to stay anonymous, too late.
Well, no. I'm just saying that there are probably some sites that get it and some sites that maybe didn't get it so well.
Well, the underlying theme that I saw across all the reviews that I checked out was that Apple Watch is cool, but it isn't a must-have gadget.
No, see, I'm still at the point where, A, I'm excited there is any press coverage of Apple that doesn't say the word beleaguered. And B, I can't believe the amount of press coverage that has already been given to a product that we don't even get to sign up and try on for another couple days.
Yeah, well, Apple's really good at that. Yeah. Okay.
But that's a whole lot of, like, on the cover of Vogue and all these places that you never, you know... Was there a Samsung Galaxy Gear on the cover of Vogue? No.
That would have been something to see.
Well, when it comes right down to the money.
Yeah, it would have been the size of the model on the cover, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Writers know that they're going to make some hay by talking about an Apple product. For 6 months, they say, well, you know, there's going to be an update. You know, there'll be an Apple Watch 2.0. You shouldn't buy it, or the battery life is terrible. But when showtime comes, it's like, oh, boy, we need to get out there. And we need to kind of, you know, whip up a storm because we know we'll get a lot of attention.
Yeah, but that's only going to be good for, what, maybe a week? And then we'll get the gate. That's the second piece of this.
Yep. Here comes the gate. With a controversy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
You heard it here first, kids. We're going to get the gate. I don't know what it will be.
Keep the fire storm.
But we're going to get the gate.
Just X gate.
Yeah. Watch gate.
Yeah.
And the reason that I know this to be true is because I don't know any mainstream news outlet that reaches a significant number of people that reported on the fact that the brand new Samsung phone bends with much less force than it took to bend an iPhone 6. And that not only does the Samsung new whatever Galaxy it is bend, but when it bends, it is no longer usable because that bend will shatter the screen, leaving the person with a pocket full of broken glass. Now, isn't that a lovely image? And yet nobody wants to talk about the Samsung Galaxy that is going to leave shards of glass in your pocket, which is now just giving me flashbacks to that Saturday Night Live sketch with Jane Curtin and Dan Aykroyd. bag of glass. Like, that's what this ends up being. And that didn't get any attention. The 9 people who returned iPhones because they sat on them, that got attention the world over. So we're going to get a gate. I just don't know what it is. And that was part of why I cringed when I saw that Gruber had mentioned that his initial review unit had some issues and they had to replace it for him.
You know,
because if that ends up being the case, if it ends up that some people who bought the first iteration of a product on the first day that it was available have some issues with it, it's going to be the end of the world for Apple.
And
we know that, right? They'll be doomed. And it is absolutely impossible for Apple to continue as any sort of publicly facing company if this ends up being the case. So keep
Kelly, you're making me think of something along those lines, and Gruber mentioned it. The build quality, the fit and finish of the Apple Watch is so good that it creates a mental sensation of appreciation, maybe even more so than you had for your phone. It makes me think, what would happen if Apple's Apple Watch did all these cool things and had all the software and everything, but it just wasn't quite as beautiful? You know, suppose they had done a regular, just a regular sport watch with ordinary crystal, never did anything special, didn't do gold. How would that have changed our perceptions about the Apple Watch?
Oh, Apple would be slumming it. There's no reason for them to have been this way.
Yep.
And once again, they're doomed. And how can they continue trying to sell anything to anyone?
Right.
So it's not like they can win either way. But yeah, I mean,
but they did nail the look.
Yeah.
All the reviewers thought the Apple Watch was just beautiful. They were all amazed at the industrial design, how well it was put together. I mean, that just across the board, everyone. Yeah, loved
and
it.
My point is, if you're the kind of person who appreciates that, you're going to view the watch differently than other people who approach it from the spec list kind of approach.
Well, I don't think Apple is going for the spec list people.
I'm not saying that. I mean, just there are people who are focused on certain features and functionality as a technical person, and then there are people who look at the Apple Watch and say, I want that on my wrist because it's so beautiful, and all the other things it does.
Yeah, and if the reviews are any indication, there will be a lot of people that will be happy to buy an Apple Watch because it looks beautiful on their wrist, and it does some other things for them too.
Well, yeah, we're going to see it on all the TV shows, all the techie cool shows like Big Bang Theory. Everybody's going to be wearing one. You're going to be freezing it on your DVR and going, look who's wearing an Apple Watch, and it's going to create even more of a fuss.
I'm sure it will.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That's how Apple
Watch Alert
works. Yeah. Yeah. All right, so that's a very brief overview of what you can expect from the reviews that have come out so far. When we get a hold of the Apple Watch, when it actually comes out, we'll be putting it through its paces too. And instead of just the quick whirlwind look that the early reviews are able to do, because they have such a short time from when they're given the watch to when they can publish the review, you know, it limits what they can do. So we'll be really putting Apple Watch through its paces. So be watching for that. Now, Kelly, you wrote
yes.
a really great article yesterday, and I have a
about
feeling.
A Golden Girls Lego set.
You wrote two really great articles yesterday. If you want to see Golden Girls as a Lego set, then you're going to have to go to the Lego Ideas site and cast your vote.
It's amazing.
They want to be your friend. But okay, so the other article you wrote that was really good
yes
was a piece about ways that you can sync content with your iPhone without having to use iTunes. So what was your favorite option out of three that you had?
There were three. The three that I discussed in my piece, these were the three that seemed like they had been around the longest, had a lot of reviews, a lot of people had talked about using it, and I found a number of places where one or more of these had been the recommendation to someone else. Now, I don't remember. I know at least one of them, but of course I don't remember which one now, has a Windows equivalent. So if you know somebody who is in need of this kind of assistance, you know, you can also check out the piece. So I talked about iExplorer, which is from MacroPlant, iMazing, which used to be Discade, and Ecamm, who makes a Skype call recorder and some other stuff. They have one called PhoneView. So what's interesting to me about them is one of the features that both iMazing and iExplorer have is if you build a playlist on your phone and you know you've set it up exactly how you want it to be, you can plug your phone into your computer and using either iMazing or iExplorer, you can build that same playlist on your computer. Now, if you have songs on your iPhone that aren't in iTunes, then it will copy those songs over into the library folder, and it will build that playlist for you and copy any necessary music, which I think is super cool. The interesting thing to me about also specifically about iMazing that the other two apps don't call out that they will do is called a cloning feature. And for people who just want to make sure they have that other backup, people like Jeff, for whom, you know, dual redundant offsite is not quite enough, this is a third option that lets you put that backup, you know, wherever you want. You can put it on your hard drive if you have a NAS at home, if you have something like we have, where every so often I take a hard drive and I make a bit for bit copy of it onto this hard drive, and then the hard drive actually lives at my in-laws' house. If you do things like that, then this direct clone is really fantastic. And you can get call log information out of all of them. You can export that in Excel if you need call log data for something, like if your phone is for business and you have to keep those records for one reason or another, you have that. The thing about all of them that I really like is that they're all pretty straightforward to use. You look at it, and you know, phone view looks sort of like a Finder window with some extra stuff in the sidebar, and you just browse through all the stuff that's on your phone. You can do everything from, like I said, make a clone within iMazing to, and all of them will let you sort of browse the file directory just like it was any other drive that you plugged into your computer. And if you need to scoop a specific file out on any of them, you can do so. The thing that I really like about this is that I like iTunes. I know this is going to shock John. I hope you're sitting, John. I like iTunes for playing music.
Yeah, it's okay.
If all I'm going to do is play music, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, playing music, totally great. I really enjoy it, and it's really straightforward. It's one of the ones you can run with your keys, you know, the keys on your keyboard. All of that is great. So I don't mind that at all. It's having to try to manage my phone with it that I have a hard time with, because I have a knee-jerk distrust of iCloud because I'm one of the people who has been completely shafted by it more than once. So I don't trust my backup to iCloud. I will make one once in a while to make sure I've got something there so that if something does happen to my phone, I can start the iCloud backup while I'm right there still in the Apple Store. But for the most part, I try not to use iTunes to manage my phone. And so having the option to do it with another app that is easy to use, that like I have a very clear idea what's happening, which is something that really frustrates me about some programs. I'm able to see everything that's working in there, and I really like that the alternatives for managing, you know, iPhone syncing or managing the apps have gotten to the point where I wouldn't mind recommending this to somebody who maybe isn't as technical as I am. You know, if okay, it turns out that my mom or my brother, who don't spend all day on their computer, aren't listening to podcasts all the time, you know, but do have a phone and do have a Mac, and you know, maybe would rather use something else because iTunes isn't for them, or they just aren't using it for one reason or another. Like, I can at least get them to go, hey, launch this app, plug in your phone, hit the clone button, and then set a calendar reminder for a month, you know, go plug it in and do the same thing again. And for at least that minimal amount of backup, I know that I can, you know, probably convince members of my family to do this. And then if something does happen, it's really easy for them to get that information back.
This is a great article. Thank you for writing it, Kelly.
You know, John, I actually had you in mind as a person who would enjoy reading this, because helps free you from the part of iTunes that both of us don't like.
I'm going to declare you the iTunes 12 Mistress of Salvation.
That's going to look great on your business card.
It will, won't it? I'll have to. Yeah, oh, Jeff. Yeah. Jeff, I don't know if you've heard. I need to order new business cards.
Making a note on my to-do list right now. Yeah. Hey, we're pretty much out of time.
Okay.
So thanks both of you for joining me and offering up some perspective on the early Apple Watch reviews. And Kelly, thank you. I'm offering you a thank you for everyone that as of now is going, oh my God, you mean I can sync and I don't have to use iTunes. Thank you.
And to all of those people, you're welcome. I really hope that this is helpful because I found it super useful. Because like I said, iTunes as a music player is pretty great, but for anything else, I have a really hard time with it. So getting the option to have an alternative is really handy. And that's for everybody. And the nice thing, one of the other bonuses I think I put in the article, let me just point this out really quick. One of the great things about this is that your computer and the phone that you plug into it do not have to have any sort of previous relationship. So if somebody brings you their phone and goes, it's worse than that, it's dead, Jim, you're totally able to at least, you know, copy the music off or whatever it is that you need to do. It doesn't matter if your phone is signed into the same account as your iTunes is or anything like that. Like if you're just somebody who ends up being tech support for people, you can totally help people with this kind of software. Really nice.
That's
nice.
Awesome. Hey, and thank you listeners for joining us yet again. We will see everyone tomorrow.